So I just want the Holy Spirit to be glorified and to be given all the praise and all the honor. So if I could just say a little prayer before we start. Lord, we just thank you. God, I thank you for this incredible time already. Like there is something that's been stirred up in this room. We thank you, God, for the anointing that came out from the music ministry, like, whoa, like over the top. And the word Michelle just gave out and encouraged. And God, there's something stirring here. And it's just like you have put the pieces together, that it is a new day, that we're not to fear, that we're to go out on our visions. God, you set this word up. So God, just give me the strength to utilize you and your gifts that'll come out, and that people will be healed today and people will be set free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Woo! So everybody, this is exciting. Do you not love the doors open and it's 50 degrees? Let's just pretend we're in Florida. Or Chuck and Norma coming back from San Diego. Like, my favorite place in the world. Yeah, it's so cool. But before we do, guys, you know, I'm going to take the offering so I don't forget it, because it's a really, it's a celebration. Our tithe, our offering is such a celebration. It really is. I get excited about it. And you know, when I think of what the Lord says, just give me 10% of what you have. He lets us keep 90%. He doesn't ask for that much. You can give more if you want, but he only asks for 10%. And you know, when we stop and think of what that tithe is, what that 10%, it's seed into good, solid ground. It's seed into all the ministries that you see going on, the healing, the children, the adults, the sick. All of that goes to maintain places like this that we could hear the word of God in. So know that your seed is blessed. When it comes into this house, it's blessed. And I remember one of my spiritual friends that really helped me when I really wanted that deep relationship with the Lord. And she told me how important my seed was. And she would teach me about it. And I remember she said, you know, Sue, whatever may be lacking in your life, jump into that. Sow your time into it. Sow your seed into it. So I can remember when my son was in the hospital, I'm like, you know what? I'm getting my behind to Joshua Kids, and I'm going to help those kids so that I won't get caught up in what I'm seeing, but I can give out to kids. And God turned it all around. So I'm telling you, he's a God of promises. So with that, you guys, just lift up your tithe, your offering. Many of you, you can give it online. A lot of people do, which is awesome. But Lord, we just ask you to bless this seed. Bless those that give it, God. Bless them 100 times over. That's your promise, God. Whatever it is, God, their time, their finances, whatever, God, bless it. When it's given in a joyful way, you'll bless the giver. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Come on forward. Come on forward. Okay, guys, as they're just collecting the offering and the tithe, I don't know how you all feel, but for those of us who have been here the last couple weeks, the amazing messages that have come from Pastor Troy and Pastor Dominic has been like incredible. It's almost like it's a collage of word, of pieces of a puzzle, and my friend Nancy will look at each other, right, Nancy? And we're like, whoa, I needed to hear that today. And we're busy writing down everything. And I almost feel like today it's one of those Sundays where it's going to continue what God has started. Because what was sung today, there's a brand new thing that God is doing. That's what we have to look at. Actually, when you said that prophetic word of don't look to the back, but look to what's to come. Focus your eyes, fix your eyes on what's to come. Because if we don't, we'll never move forward in what God has destined us to do. I loved when Pastor Dominic talked about the lens. Was anybody here who was here when y'all heard about that lens? That was cool. And he brought this, for those of you that may not heard, he brought that big lens. And when he put it up against his eye, I went, whoa, because his eye was distorted at that time. And he said his wife, Emily, had said to him, Dominic, it looks weird. Your eye looks distorted. But the whole message was just so like, wow, it just kind of like shook my insides when Pastor Dominic said, how do we look at our life today and what's to come? What we have seen in our past, okay, could still be there. We could be looking at our future through the eyes of our past. It can affect us in that way. So do we want to be there, or do we want to look through a new lens? A new lens. So I'm just going to throw some stuff out there, you guys, okay, for you. I want you to start to think about. Of course, when I was thinking about that, I thought, wow, God, who am I putting my trust in? Am I really trusting you with today's decisions that can affect tomorrow's decisions? Who am I trusting? And you know, sometimes it's easy to have a challenge with trust. I don't know if any of you do, or maybe some of you may have in your past, and it could be due to what you've experienced long ago as a child, as an adult. And sometimes those issues can come back to us, and you're like, wow, God, I thought I was okay with that. Why is that kind of being stirred up now? And you know, when we think about it, and are we trusting who we need to trust? Are we trusting God, who loves all of us so much that he's not going to direct us in a wrong way? So I just want to throw that out. Who are we really trusting? Trusting with our decisions that can affect our tomorrow or even our today. It could affect our potential and our destiny. So when you think of that trust, if we're not trusting the right people, not trusting in God for everything, wow, it could really affect our potential, our destiny of who he made us to be, to become, which is, it was a lot. So I remember years ago, God has to always like kind of hit me over the head and say, okay, Sue, start looking up scriptures on trust. I went, whoa, really? Okay. I thought I kind of dealt with some things in life, but obviously he knew I needed more of it. Like I needed to look at scripture every day. So I got my Bible. It's kind of falling apart. Kind of need it rebound. And I went to the concordance and I looked up trust. And I started to write down every day scriptures on trust. And the biggest one for me, and I'm sure for a lot of people right here, is Proverbs. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. It's huge. Yeah. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. So what's that mean, to lean not on my own understanding? Does that mean, I got to kind of give up my control? My stuff? How I want to see the conclusion of this happening in my life? But he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So that's in the little things. That's in the big things. To acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You know, Elijah Frazier, we met, 2007, Embassy Suites, when we had church there. And he didn't know Lika, but Lord, he brought her to you, right? And we would sit up front, and he'd be like, oh man, Sue, I needed that. And I could tell he was just getting stirred. He was getting moved. He was getting transformed by what that word was saying. We'd be kind of crazy, wouldn't we? It was like amazing stuff. It was amazing. But on Facebook, just last week, maybe it was, Elijah, you had met someone and you, I believe, had a conversation about God. And then he said, well, what church do you belong to? And he goes, oh, you belong to a crazy church. Like, they're just kind of hooping and hollering. And I loved what Elijah said. He said, you know, how many of us hoop and holler when we go to a Cavs game? We will come home hoarse. We go to a Browns game. We are out there screaming, yelling, everything. But when it comes to worshiping God and seeking God, I love that. And it was done. Nothing else had to be said. Because why? You trust him. You trust him, Elijah, with all that you do. You trust him. You trust him. You know, in April of 2016, I facilitated a woman's retreat in the Grand Cayman Island. That was incredible. Incredible. It was a time of spiritual feeding, physical workouts, feeding our bodies food, teaching people about all of that. It was incredible. And we stayed at this home that was overlooking the ocean. So you can only imagine how God could speak. But if we're always so busy, we're never going to take time to hear him speak. So I went out daily and I would spend my time in the Word. And it was amazing. It was just amazing. I opened up, I don't know how many of you have Jesus Calling, the devotional every day. And I opened it up to that day. And one of the references in there was Matthew 28:20. So I'm like, oh, I got to find that because I got to get fed. I need this. So what happened? I opened up my Bible, but it was to Matthew 28:5. And I write all over my Bible. I'm one of those highlight, write, falls apart on me. And on Matthew 28:5, I circled. It said, don't be afraid. I'm like, okay. Lord, how come you had me look at that right away? Don't be afraid. I'm like, okay. And that's what the angel said to the women, Mary Magdalene and the women who were seeking, where was Jesus? He was in this tomb, but where is he? And what did he tell them? Don't be afraid. I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you telling me? What are you telling me? And all of a sudden, I heard the word fear. Fear, okay? He said, you know what, Sue, you've been, and I'm going to be real transparent with you guys. He said, you've been bound in your own fear. I went, ooh, but I trust you, Lord. I call out to you, but he was taking it deeper. He wanted to get some things stirred up that I had not stirred up. He said, you have held it captive within you. You haven't taken it captive. You've held it captive in you. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm getting a little bit hot now. He said, you have chosen. That was your choice to do. He wasn't about beating me up, wasn't about making me feel guilty, but it was what I needed to hear. And always know, when you make the time for him, he's going to tell you, but you got to listen. So if you want change, you want a new thing to happen, get ready. Don't expect to be totally busy, 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 and never giving him some of your time for him to speak. Really? Yeah. So he said, release it to me. I'm like, okay. He said, fear has held you back. And until you truly give it to me, how can you move forward in what your destiny is and what your calling is? So when you think of your own life, what is your destiny? What is your calling? If your parents, like I see all these beautiful young parents with their children, your destiny, your legacy is right there. And I'm sure you have many questions about that. God, how will I provide for my family? What are the decisions I'm making today that will affect my kids? What am I doing? It's huge. The Holy Spirit said, release it to me. Release it. Release it. So today, I put the word out there, the question, what do you think is holding you back? Okay, what's holding you back? It's okay to take stock. It's okay to say, I got to stop and I got to look at what my obstacles have been. Because sometimes we're our worst enemies. I chose to hold certain things. I chose not to give all my trust out to him. I chose that. He said, I'm utilizing you now, because I'm like, but Lord, I'm here and I'm pouring into women, 14 of them, and I'm giving them your word and I'm feeding them good food and I'm exercising them. And he said, but that's because it's my strength in you. It's not ours. We're nothing without him, guys. So if we realize that and put our pride on the back burners, like kick it out the back door and say, God, use me. Because why? He knew my heart's desire. And he'll know your heart's desire. And my heart's desire is to see people saved, is to see them know God, is to have the joy and the peace and not to live in bondage. He said, you give it to me, I'll set you free in your destiny. I'll set it free. I'll set it free. So, of course, what do you think he said? the visual me start writing out scriptures on fear. I'm like, oh, Lord, okay. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to start to do that. And immediately, the scripture that came to my mind as I was just sitting there and the wind's blowing is Jeremiah 29:11. And that scripture, whew, you know, sometimes you don't need to focus on thousands of scriptures. Get some scriptures that, man, you can just focus your eyes, your heart, and your spirit into that really produce a change within us. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So he doesn't say anything about, I'm going to cause demise in your life. He says, I've got good plans. He says, Todd, I've got good plans for you. He sees the man that you are and the man that even you are still becoming, because we're all becoming, aren't we, guys? We're not there. None of us are there, you know, and it's like, but he sees your heart. He sees the values. He sees how he loves his family, takes care of his wife and his kids. God sees you, Todd. He sees what you do. Jeff, I'm pick on people here. You know, I love Jeff. His wife was sick. His daughter's sick. His son's sick. He came. Because why? He said, I need a word. I'm coming. I'm going to trust you, God, for what I'm going to hear today. And he always knows where we're at and where he's going to take us. So as I was sitting there on that terrace and that breeze is coming, I said, so God, what do I do? Very clearly, three steps. Three steps. He said, identify the fear. Identify it. And if you're not sure about it, ask me. Pray about it. Say, God, what am I trying to not identify here? What am I fearing? What am I fearing? He'll tell you. Is it rejection? What is it? Is it self-worth? Is it loss? What is it? And then you know what? We got to ask for forgiveness. It's simple. It's not hard. You just got to say, Lord, I had to get on my knees and say, Lord, I am so sorry. I thought I'm trusting you with everything. But you know what, Lord? Apparently I've not. I repent. I love you and forgive me. Because you think, what did he do 2,000 years ago? He took it all, guys. He took it all. But did my mind go back there? Did I get, you know, just into that scripture that Isaiah 53:3-4, for every whipping, beating he took for me, for my health, for me, for my shortcomings, my weakness. He took it. He took it. And then he said, what you got to do is you got to fill it now with the word of God, the truth on it, the truth. It's like my husband who stopped drinking at age 24, right, Paul? Five. and he's not drank since. Like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. But he had to fill that void with something else. It's like a wound. I used to deal with deep wounds in hospitals. And, you know, you can take off that surface wound, and that wound can be all the way down to the bone. It had to be filled with something to heal. Not only that, we had to teach about how do I nourish a patient. So how do we nourish, guys, our wounds? Are we nourishing with it right here, which is the best therapy? Yeah, yeah. Guys, it's the best therapy. You don't have to buy expensive wound care products. Yep. You got to fill it with this right there. That's where you'll get your protein at, right there, guys, right there. So December 6th, guys, I have to tell you this. You know, the Lord said, and that was April, start looking up fear. Well, guess what? What did I do? From December to April, you think every day I was looking up fear? I told you, I'm going to be transparent with you all. No. So for the last year, Paul and I, my husband, in our business, we've been contemplating change. And it's been like a tug of war with us. I thought, he's coming from one direction, I'm coming from another direction. So our life has felt like it's been a tug of war. I'm thinking, oh, how is that going to be? What's going to happen? No. But it really involved changing the daily operations of it, changing our roles, changing all of it. I'm like, okay, God, that's why you told me to trust you. That's why you told me to get into scriptures of fear. So that's why we felt like days I did not like him and Paul did not like me. I love him to death, but I'm telling you, we did not like each other, right, Paul? Then he'd take me to Joe's Deli and I would be totally fine. No. Totally knew the way to my heart. So we battled and we would meet about it. And I'd get to a certain point, I'm like, no, no, that's a lot of change. So guess what? December 6th, I wrote it down. At our club, I got out my word to look every scripture I could find about fear. All of a sudden, that week, walls were going to come down in our place. Changes were going to occur like that. All of a sudden, I'm like, God, now I get it. You were preparing me and equipping me because he's our Father and he doesn't throw us out there without equipping us. He will never do that. He won't take you somewhere and not give you the tools, not equip you for what's ahead of you. But in my own self, see, it held me captive. My own head held me captive. So I started to look up these scriptures and it was so cool because Genesis 21:7. Wow. Just know, fear should not keep us from God. And this is from the New Living Translation. This was about Sarah and Abraham. I know I'm all over the place, aren't I, with scriptures, but hopefully it's keeping it in line. It says, "For who would have ever dreamed that I would ever have a baby?" That's what Sarah was saying. "Yet I have given Abraham a son in his old age." Okay. So when you think about it, Sarah had repeated promises. She had a visit by two angels, appearance of the Lord himself. Finally, Sarah cried out with surprise and joy at the birth of her son. But it was her doubt, it was her worry, it was her fear that kept her stagnant. But God, an old uterus. Okay, let's just say it as it is. All right. Sorry, I'm a nurse. An old uterus, sorry. Yeah, exactly, you know, but God knew Sarah's heart. She wanted a baby, and with God, all things are possible. So what, Megan, whatever you're thinking today, like, I don't know if I can do, just know you can do it, because God is so with you, girl, and I know there's something bubbling in, and I can just see it in you, like you want to get up and run around, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Trust me, it's going to happen, you guys, but he knew her heart. And the way to bring peace to a troubled heart, guys, is to focus on God's promises. Okay? Trust him to do what he says. Trust him. You know, Sarah was looking at her physical makeup. I can't birth this baby. How could I do this? Instead of looking and trusting what God could do. So today, again, I go back to what is it? Is it finances? Is it relationships? What do you feel that you're looking at the physical, but not seeing where God wants to catapult you from that arena and take you into your destiny, take you there? You know, is it family stuff, self-doubt? What is it, guys? Really, I just ask, what is it? Which is so amazing. Okay, when we think about this, guys, I want you to go back. We're doing some more thinking here, okay? We're just going to keep on thinking. Okay, I want you to take it to Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Because, see, this is our covering. This is where you get the peace. I have to take these scriptures and apply it to my life. The Lord didn't write these for just 2,000 years ago. He wrote it for us now. Now, take those words, and it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." And that's what I heard this morning, which was so cool. Thank him. Thank him. "Let your requests be known to God." Wow. Wow. "And he will guard our hearts and our minds." He'll do it. He'll do it. So again, keep thinking, God, what needs to change? Because once I accept you into my life, I'm a new person. I leave the old stuff behind. God's forgiven you. God's forgiven you. And you know, the devil will always try to come and bring up that old stuff. And you got to say, stop, because I'm a new person. Stop. I trust the Lord with all my heart, all my understanding. He'll direct my path. You know, in our women's Bible study, the Holy Spirit was just talking, and he said, you know, walls are going to come down. There's cracks in the walls, and they're going to come down. So when we made that decision to take walls down in the club, change the operations, we had a group of men come in and two ladies come in. God provided them, craftsmen to the T, donated their time. Craftsmen to the T. December 26th, we had a shutdown to do all of this. So it was tough, right, Paul? I was feeling like, oh, this December, I'm just being peeled. Yeah, hurt. Even though you knew it was good, there was still that peeling going in, you know? And again, sometimes I liked him and sometimes, yeah, and sometimes not. But I remember that morning on December 26th getting coffee for the guys there. And the Holy Spirit said, you know, when I talked about those walls and the cracks, it's right here. I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. You got it, God. You got it. I got to trust you. So what he's done is amazing, guys. So I'm telling you, if there's walls that need to come down in your own life today, go to him. Ask him to tear them down. If there's old stuff that just wants to come back and haunt you, that's not who you are. It's not who God created you to be. He'll repurpose what needs to be repurposed. He took that wall. They repurposed it. It's now part of a wall that looks like it's always been there. And God created more back there. He repurposed an office for my husband. And he keeps saying it's a closet. I keep declaring it's an office. It's repurposed. Be quiet. And he's got it all organized, all beautiful looking, because he's so organized like that. But that's God. He repurposed. So many times we think, oh, this is old. Sarah thought, oh, my uterus is old. He repurposed it. He repurposed it for something greater that was going to come. But in conclusion, guys, I have to tell you, Romans 12:2. We're going to conclude with that because it's huge. It's just huge. And it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So does change come without transforming our mind? Elijah, does it come? It never comes without the transformation of our mind. So sometimes we're in the labor room laboring, and you know what that's like. God love you. You could be in that labor room laboring and never go to the delivery room because of our choice to stick in the pain, to stick to not see the birth. You want it, but we're too afraid, and we hold ourselves captive in the labor room and never enter into the birthing room. But God is saying today, change those thoughts. That's what's going to happen. I had to get into that word and say, God, change my thoughts. Even though I'm worried, I'm scared financially. This is big, God. I got to trust you. Because the devil never wanted us to do this in the first place. Back how many years ago, Paul, in 611? More than that. Way more than that. Yeah, it was about 14, years ago. The devil never wanted us to partner and to go into our own business and try to destroy our marriage. I mean, literally tried to destroy our marriage, because that place was just not about fitness. It was about fitness of the spirit. It was about people getting saved, It was about spiritually feeding people. So you think devil doesn't want that? He doesn't want that in the workplace. But God had a plan. And God restored us to continue today. So I'm going to pray right now, guys. Whew, Lord. Ashley, can you come back? Nick, can you guys come back and just sing about the new song that I don't even know the name. I'm a little messed up right now. So you just come on up, guys. Come on up. But Lord, Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word, which is so true. God, we thank you for loving us as we are. Just loving us, God, not putting the guilt on us. Lord, take the guilt off of us that we choose to put on ourselves. God, you say if we believe in you and trust in you, we're a new person in you. So, Lord, today I pray for everybody here, guys, and I'm just going to have y'all stand. Let's just stand and hold the person's hand next to you. Holy Spirit, just fill the room. Just fill it. Just fill it. Just fill this room. Because you're doing a new thing. God, you are doing such a new thing in here today. Of these incredible people who have come here today, God, because they seek you and they want a word. And the gentleman that came with four girls, God bless him, he came today, four girls, and he wasn't afraid to come in. Four girls, God bless him, bless him, bless his steps, bless provision for him in his life. Bless him, God, bless him, and just, God, continue with him, because, God, he's going to be this incredible dad.
Yes.
Incredible provider.
Yeah.
The God, even the lies that were spoken to him and to any of us in this room that you're not worthy, that you can't do it. God said, you're worthy because you're my kid. You are worthy. And with me, all things are possible. So God, we just ask to break anything, Jesus, in your name that is holding us back. Bless it, God. Transform our minds. Renew our minds, God, in you. Let the word become life, become manna to us. Not just for 40 years, but forever, God. Forever, let the manna become in us the food of your word. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray now. And just as we end, you guys, just to get into those words, and I thank you guys for doing that. I knew it was going to be a little crazy, but we just needed to. I love this team, you guys. They are so anointed as artists. Like, it's incredible that God has blessed us with them. Your propheticness, your honesty, your love. Like, we love you guys. So if you would just let it go, you guys, and go for it. And if those of you that can stay, feel free to stay, bask in it. If you need to go, I pray you come back next week. We love you.